Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. It's a butter egg made from plants. Bring more customers in your doors with Just Egg. Start with a free sample at ju.st/hrn.
Welcome to a new episode of Item 13. This is one of our Take 2 episodes as part of the series where we are bringing back former guests, former popular guests, to chat with them on what they've been up to since the last time we spoke. And this week I'm thrilled to have Dr. Carol. Again, I remember this from last time. I hope I don't butcher your last name. Carol Mathias
O'Shea.
It's like the French. O'Shea. But it's from a Nigerian family?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So I think that's why I always pause, because I'm like, it sounds Frenchish, but I feel like it's Nigerian. What does it say? O'Shea. Okay. Got it. Yeah. O'Shea. I will remember that. Cool. Thank you for coming back on. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, Carol is a mental health expert. Actually, what's the professional term? Psychologist, psychiatrist?
Well, no, I'm a psychologist.
Psychologist, great.
Yes.
Great. So, I think we talked about that last time too, speaking of that, the last time we spoke was now almost 2 years ago, I think.
Yes.
Which is insane to think about in terms of time, how time flies. But we talked a lot then about mental health challenges that face food entrepreneurs specifically. You gave some incredible tips for managing those and taking care of self. That episode was particularly popular, and I thought it would be great to bring you back because of this last year that we've just had, really. So it's still early in January, and I think some people are still referring to 2021 as the sequel to 2020 in terms of some events that have started to happen already. So wanted to catch up with you, one, to hear how you navigated the last year, how you're doing, any new things you've done in terms of your practice, new plans, new tools you've developed. And then briefly want to touch on, you know, especially, so we have a global audience, but we, you know, a huge part of our audience lives in the U.S., even those of the African diaspora. And the restaurant industry in particular has been very hard hit. A lot of people have either lost their jobs or lost their entire businesses and livelihoods. It's just been truly challenging. And so I want to talk about... maybe we'll revisit some of the tips we talked about then, but then in the light of, you know, an incredibly specific, you know, event, how do you manage that as well? And just for people's reference, the last time we spoke, that episode to go back to hear all about, you know, Carol's backstory, how she came, you know, she moved back to Ghana, working with students at SOS and then her own practice. That's episode 2022. Not 2022. Episode 22 specifically. I will link that so people know. So first let's start with how are you? How was 2020 for you in terms of navigating everything that was going on in the world?
2020, it's been one of those years, or it was one of those years that looking back on now is pretty hard to describe, just because, much like everybody knows, things were really all over the place. Much like everyone else, 2020 became a lot about surviving for me. you know, because on the personal side, I have older parents who have underlying conditions. And so, you know, my family and I were really focused on keeping them in a bubble and keeping them safe. Mm. So a lot of my 2020 was taking up, you know, paying attention to that. It's interesting because I missed the explosion in New York by days, right? I was in New York for work, running around New York, sort of like, you know, I was hearing chatter about what was going on. This was early March, right? So I was hearing late February to early March, hearing chatter about what was going on, but not really fully, honestly, having tapped into what was going on.
Yeah.
And I think I flew out of New York 2-3 days before the city was shut down.
Wow.
And I arrived, when I arrived in Accra, you know, the Kotoka I had flown, you know, the airport I had flown out of looked very different from the airport I flew back into. Because as soon as we got back, you know, they had us fill out forms, they took our temperature, they had us washing our hands, they had us sanitizing, and it was like, okay, full blown, we're in the middle of a pandemic, yeah. Right? And I was, you know, together with everyone else on the flights that were coming in, we were asked to sort of self-isolate for 14 days and asked to sort of contact. We're giving numbers to contact if we started feeling ill. So I sort of flew right back into it. And like I said, I immediately thought of my parents. I'm like, okay, are they going to be okay? We have to make sure they are. And then it just, the year sort of just rolled on from there.
Yeah.
And I was very focused, like I said before, on staying safe, keeping my family safe. But then it's interesting because on the professional side, it also, things also really sort of took off, not took off, but sort of expanded because as you can imagine, a lot of people were dealing with a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty. That triggered anxiety. And so people just were reaching out. Mm. And, you know, because I do offer therapy in a virtual space, it allowed me also to really connect with people. So very soon, my 2020 became about providing support for other people, you know, as they sort of worked through 2020 as it unfolded and just seemingly got worse and worse and worse. So on the personal side, I was really concerned about keeping, you know, my parents were my focus. And then on the professional side, it quickly became about providing support for, you know, a good number of people who kept reaching out. But, you know, my husband and I joke about how, you know, March, we were 2020, we remember January, February, March. And then from March to like October, November, it was like, you know, the recording was sped up, you know, and we just look back and it just seems like a ball of everything. Mm. So I mean, I recognize though that in the midst of it, I was blessed, a lot to be thankful for. I did find a lot to be thankful for because I kept my job at SOS. We did virtual learning with students, so I was still able to support students' emotional and mental needs virtually, and that was really sort of satisfying.
Mm.
I was able to do a lot more work with Thrive, and I recognize that that isn't necessarily the experience that a lot of people had. So I did recognize that, you know, that was a good thing for me. So I will say that I kept safe. I kept well in 2020. Ended up spending a lot of time, at home. But work was busy. Work was busy. And like I said, I tapped into providing support for a lot of people who were trying to navigate the challenges of 2020. Yeah.
That's great to hear on a couple of different fronts. Just one, that your family, you know, your family has kept safe and all of that. But in terms of even, it's kind of ironic. Like, so I have, I have a family of doctors, and it's very interesting when you say work is busy as a doctor, the implication is that a lot of people are sick, right? And so it's a double-edged sword, but in that aspect. Yes. But I also think, for me, it's a great sign, though, that, you know, one of the things I remember talking about is the stigma of getting mental health help, like in a community.
Yes.
So it's also refreshing to hear that more people, it sounds like, are reaching out to get the help that they that they need. So maybe absolutely. For some people, 2020 was the catalyst to do that, which is not a bad thing.
That's good. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, because even for me, I've been in and out of therapy, you know, over the years. But last year, especially, I went back, you know, I also found a therapist to go back into like do my regular weekly sessions, just because it was an incredibly tough year for me personally, even outside of, you know, COVID and all of that. And so, so COVID just added an extra layer to my personal challenges. Mm-hmm. And so being able to talk to someone and go through that process was incredibly helpful. So last time we spoke, for sure. And I had forgotten like how centered it kept me and how it gets you out of your head, right? Because we tend to create stories in our heads, and talking to like a neutral person who's been trained also. So some of the questions I get, you know, some of my, you know, I've had conversations with friends who are like, why do you need to see a therapist specifically? Because I also want to say, like, I have a really good support system in terms of friends and all of that, that I can speak to about anything, but it's different, to have one, a neutral person, neutral objective person, and then two, that they've been trained, right? They've been trained in identifying patterns, behaviors, and can help you, you know, self-correct, you will. So that's been the difference and benefit for me anyway. But enough about me. So we talked about some of the common mental health challenges that affect entrepreneurs the last time, when we talked about anxiety, depression, you know, sometimes the high expectations and perfectionism, if you will, that people put on themselves as they're building a food business. And a food business in and of itself can be very personal, because in some ways you're putting yourself on a plate or in a package or whatever. And so wanted to chat, let's nail it down to like 3 to 5 tips. You know, thinking about the background of COVID, people losing their jobs, and all of that, what would you say are the 5? So, you know, I don't want, 5 might seem too much, but it's up to you. 3 to 5 tips you have for people. Mm-hmm. One, in terms of not just in terms of managing the expectation and the realities of really losing livelihoods for some people, right? Navigate that, I guess.
I think you sort of started it off by talking about expectations. I think one of the things, you know, for everyone, but you know, specifically talking to entrepreneurs in the, you know, food business, one of the things I think that 2020 showed us was that there are a whole host of things that can affect every aspect of our lives, including our businesses, that are out of our control. And when those things happen, the question becomes, are we holding ourselves to the same expectations and standards that we had when, for example, we weren't in a pandemic and it wasn't having the trickle-down effect that it was having on everything? And so talking to people, really pointing out, because that was one thing that I personally did, was I really had to have, you know, very honest, harsh introspection about lowering my expectations of myself, and recognizing that lowering my expectations didn't mean that I wasn't as ambitious, I wasn't as sort of driven anymore, or I was sort of lowering my standards. It just meant that I was looking at what is the current climate we are in because of COVID, and what are the things that I can realistically expect myself to be able to do and keep doing. And I think as 2020 has rolled into 2021, I always say to people that a new year doesn't sort of, you know, a new year gives us a lot of hope and all of that, which is good, but the problems of the previous year don't sort of magically disappear. And so a lot of the challenges of 2021 and a lot of the impacts of the challenges of 20, of 2020, sorry, have rolled into 2021. And so I think it's important that people, even though 2020 is over, as we sort of head into 2021, I think it's really important, first of all, that people take a good look at their expectations and have really honest conversations about how realistic their expectations are. Are they being fair to themselves? Are they asking their bodies and their nervous systems and their, brains and to do more than they can handle right now because of the levels of anxiety that we are all dealing with? That's the first thing.
That's so interesting. I sorry to interrupt, but that resonated with me so much because I hadn't quite put it in that, framed it in that way. But I would say that that for me was the number one thing I struggled with last year. And again, I think we also talked about this the last time, but, the impact of social media, right? So for me, I went into 2020, probably like everybody else, incredibly optimistic. I had all these great plans and then, everything fell off. And I felt like I still needed to meet those things in spite of everything that was going on. And it was even more challenging because it seemed like for some people on social, like if you looked at some food businesses on social, they were moving on. Like, so it seemed, at least from what they were showing, that they were taking it in stride. They had pivoted, either to do virtual cooking stuff or whatever. And there was the sense that, oh my God, they are able to do this. They were able to think on their feet and change and do all of this stuff. And why can't I get out of this thing, because you're looking at somebody else's outside story, if you will. So that for me was just another great point. Like you put it in a way that I hadn't thought about in terms of, I hadn't thought about it in terms of expectations, but you're right. I put a lot of unreasonable expectations on myself.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of us do, just because, we're ambitious and we're driven and, we set goals and we target and we work hard towards our targets. So, like I said, the first tip that I generally like to share is take a good look at your expectations. And then the second one is one that I will always share in any kind of mental health or well-being context. How are you taking care of yourself physically? Because more than ever, I mean, it's always been there, but more than ever, we're understanding how linked and sort of inseparable physical health is to mental health and mental well-being, right? So a lot of what goes on with us in terms of our ability to focus and plan and stay motivated and get work done, a lot of it has to do with what's going on with our bodies physically. And so what are you eating? What are you feeding your body with? Is your body getting all the nutrients that it needs? Are you drinking enough water? And things like this can seem really basic, but they are incredibly foundational, right? How much water are you drinking? Are you staying hydrated? How much activity or movement is your body getting? And I know, with lockdown and quarantine and isolation, a lot of us really struggled with that. How much sunlight are you getting, for example? How much sleep and rest are you able to give your body? Because all of those things impact how we show up, mentally and emotionally, and how well we are able to function. And so my second tip would be back to the basics. How well are you taking care of your physical body and giving your body what it needs so that it can then give you what you need from it in terms of what it needs to do? Right. The third thing would be, I think it's been interesting because I think 2020, in terms of our social support networks, 2020 has been an interesting year because we've been sort of, for a lot of people have struggled, in the midst of everything that's happening, we've struggled with our mental health because we've lost lots of physical connection with a lot of our support systems, right? Whether it's going into work, if you own a food business, whether it's going in to work, being able to spend the work day with your colleagues and your, work alongside people, socialize. We really sort of underestimate how powerful that is. And I think 2020 really, you know, helped us to see it, because it possibly took us away from all of that.
Yeah.
And I think, but it also showed us that we can be creative and sort of reimagine and think outside the box in terms of how we stay connected. And so, of course, we've seen Zoom, you know, Google, Google Hangouts, Microsoft. Oh, you know, we've figured out ways to stay connected. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not quite the same as being physically in the presence of other people or the, you know, our support systems, we figured out how to stay connected. And that is really important, staying connected. If you can't stay connected in the traditional ways, thinking about how do I get creative about staying connected to the people who, you know, are important to me and who are my support system. And so making sure that you're not isolating because we're physically sort of having to stay away from each other, that we're also emotionally not isolating. And I think some, you know, pretty, during about halfway into the year, you know, we started hearing arguments about how, you know, we're not necessarily social distancing, right? We're physical distancing, right? Because socially we're figuring out other ways to stay connected and socialize, and people are having Zoom parties and getting married over Zoom. And, you know, we sort of figured out ways to keep those social connections going.
Yeah.
And that is important because we are relational beings, right? We're relational beings, and our mental health and our physical health do so much better when we stay in healthy relationship with other human beings.
I think that's important. Yeah, that's great. And I think to your point, I think very early on, and it was sad that we ended up just adopting the social distancing thing. You're right. It should be, we should have from the very beginning called it physical distancing, because I think the word, it sounds like it's just a word play, but I think it's so important to distinguish between that, for sure.
It is. And I think one last thing I'll add in terms of tips is, and, you know, for some people, you might find it really hard to do. But for others, it also presents an opportunity to plan and replan and re-strategize and think outside the box in terms of your business, right? Because having to sort of like physical distance and shut everything down has really sort of brought to the fore the need to sort of think outside the box in terms of how we traditionally have done things, right? We suddenly realized that there are a lot of meetings that can happen, a lot of things can happen virtually. Education can happen virtually. You know, there are lots of things that we are starting to see that with some thought and planning and creativity can happen sort of out of these traditional boxes that we are so used to. And so it's also an opportunity for business people, entrepreneurs, to think about, you know, how things can be done outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, if physical distancing or social distancing is something we're going to have to contend with for a while, what does that mean in terms of how you can reimagine or represent what it is that the services that you offer, for example. But like I said, for some people that might be, you know, because the interesting thing is there are people who thrive in situations like this. There are some people for whom when things are sort of topsy-turvy and all over the place and they sort of feel the pressure and they thrive in those environments, and that's great. And they are the ones who, you know, in lockdown have written books and started podcasts and learned new skills, and which is all good, right? But it's also important to recognize that there are some of us who really struggle because, you know, in times of uncertainty and anxiety and increased stress, our nervous systems are really sort of just focused on surviving and getting our bodies to survive. And so some, whereas some people are able to sort of use these opportunities to, like I'm saying, reimagine and rethink and replan. Other people find that they really struggle to do that. And I do want to say that whichever box or wherever you fall on that continuum, it's okay. As long as at the bottom line, you're taking care of yourself. And, you know, it connects back to what you said about social media, because I think whereas social media has been great in terms of helping, you know, a good number of people feel connected in a time that has been very isolating, it's also done a whammy on, you know, a good number of people in terms of looking, like you're saying, comparing yourself to, you know, the next person and feeling like, okay, why am I not able to be as productive as they are? Why am I not able to be as creative as they are being? And so another tip is to disconnect when you have to, right? Yeah. Because all of that influx of what everybody's doing with their lives, all the information about COVID and everything that's happening, finding that healthy medium of staying. I tell people there's a difference between staying informed and just being overwhelmed by information. Mm-hmm. And so knowing when for you is time to sort of unplug and say, okay, this is becoming more unhealthy than healthy for me. And so let me take a couple of steps back from it.
Yeah, that I for sure had to learn that lesson, because you just saw a lot of people, like you said, there's the, I guess you'd call it the survivors and the thrivers in something like this. Mm-hmm. And I definitely would put myself closer to a survivor than a thriver. And I would say those 6 months. So probably between March and September, October, like it took me a long time to bounce back in some ways. And one, to your point, it's one, knowing that about yourself and accepting that that doesn't make you a terrible person or whatever. Just, you know, knowing who you are and then figuring out what are the tools that you can use to manage yourself in the situation that you find yourself in. I think it's all great tips and examples. Awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. You can't have plant-based breakfast without a plant-based egg. Just Egg is now the fastest growing egg brand in the United States. Bring more plant-based customers into your doors with easy-to-use Just Egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn. Made from plants, Just Egg is a better egg for you and for the planet. It's healthier, with no cholesterol and less saturated fat. And it's more sustainable. Just Egg uses less water and generates fewer carbon emissions. Most importantly, it's delicious. For our listeners who operate a food service establishment, you can get a sample for free. Head to ju.st/hrn. Just Egg makes a delicious plant-based addition to any menu. It's available as a liquid scramble, great for omelets, frittatas, stir fries, and French toast. There's also frozen, pre-baked, folded version that's ideal for filling breakfast sandwiches or topping salads. Chef Jose Andres called Just Egg mind-blowing, and Bon Appetit says, "So good, I feel guilty eating it." Put the fastest-growing egg brand on your menu. Get a free sample of Just Egg for your restaurant at ju.st/hrn.
Want to turn it back to you. These have been great tips. I hope everyone who's listening, who's going through some stuff, or even thinking about 2021, because like Carol said, it's not over. At least the great thing about 2021 is we have the hindsight of what happened, and we can at least start to imagine how we can control some of these aspects that maybe felt a little bit more uncertain, right? And so as you start to think about how creative you can get with your business, you know some of the limitations now, and you can sort of plan for those. So hopefully that's less stressful. So thank you, Carol. Always insightful as always. So for you, back to you, because I've seen some calendars and some stuff on Instagram. So I wanted to see like what sort of new tools are you creating for people? Number one, and then two, as we're looking forward to the rest of the year, what are you looking forward to? What are you most excited about, whether it's personally or in terms of mental health practices in Ghana?
I think a lot of what is new in terms of my practice has been being able to offer support virtually. I think, once again, 2020 sort of really made it necessary to be able to offer, whether it's through video chat or phone chat, or being able to offer support sort of that is not in person. So I've seen growth in that area. And then you're absolutely right. So I think after we spoke was when I did the first edition of the Thrive Daily Calendar. And the idea behind it was, you know, a desk calendar that had, with the first version, it was a weekly calendar, a flip calendar, that could sit on your desk, either at home or in the office, you know, your TV console, your kitchen counter, or your vanity, wherever, you know, any surface in your home. Mm-hmm. And every week would have either a question to get you to reflect on something encouraging, you know, all sort of linked back to mental health. Mm-hmm. And it did really well. I was, I deal a lot with imposter syndrome. So when things go well, I'm always surprised. But Thrive Daily, I like to call it Thrive Daily, did really, really well. And, you know, I got a lot of good feedback as well. And I took some of that feedback and incorporated into the next edition, which, you know, over November, December into January was sort of selling. And that was a monthly calendar that had, a functional sort of calendar portion. And then each month was specifically focused on some aspect of mental health and had different prompts and questions. So, you know, for every month, you have the calendar bit that sort of helps you keep track of your days and holidays and stuff like that. And then you had these questions that you could reflect on and sort of give yourself a focus for every month in terms of taking care of your mental health. And that did better than the first
Amazing.
One. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, getting feedback from that as well and sort of deciding what that means for next year. So that I think is the major new thing that has happened since we last spoke. And then back to your point, a lot more people are reaching out seeking support. So then I've definitely seen an increase in the number of clients that I'm taking on. I've had to cap it because at the moment, for example, my caseload is full and I actually have a waiting list, which is interesting. But so a lot more people are reaching out for support. A lot more people are very interested in having those conversations. So it's one of the things I'm really looking forward to in the coming year, seeing that shift, especially in Ghana, among young people, seeing the shift to accepting and seeing the value of therapy and other mental health support structures and services. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to being able to engage in a lot more speaking engagements, because last year I wasn't able to, because of COVID and then some personal health reasons as well. And so for 2021, I am looking forward to engaging more on a community level and at larger events, because I think it's important that we keep pushing those conversations about mental health and mental health care. I think that's important. So I think those are the things mm-hmm. that I'm excited about. Sort of looking to see what the year will bring. And of course, continuing to stay safe. And continuing to keep my parents safe as much as I'm able to. So those are the things that I'm looking forward to.
That's great. Congrats on that.
Oh, the other thing, I think I forgot one major thing that happened during the course of the year. Mm-hmm. So on my Thrive Page Instagram account, at the early, much earlier on in the year, I had done a series on infertility and subfertility. It had started because I had shared a little bit of my, because I was sort of just starting to have some fertility challenges. And so I shared a little bit of my story and my journey so far. And several people reached out sort of in response to that, wanting to share their story and just feeling like we don't talk about it enough. It's one of those things that we know is there, especially in Ghana, but we don't talk about it. And sort of like, what are the mental health impacts of young people, whether it's individuals or couples that are trying to start a family but are having challenges the traditional way. And so then I did a series on infertility and subfertility. I still have the stories up, the post up on my account. And then as a result of that, an anonymous philanthropist, this really amazing lady, business woman living in Accra, because she herself had some challenges with fertility and infertility, she read through a lot of the story. She was really inspired, and she wanted, through Thrive, to, you know, gift a couple or an individual $5,000 to sort of fund their IVF process. You know, a couple for which IVF was a viable next option. She wanted to give them $5,000. And so we put out the announcement, you know, people shared, we got amazing you know, stories come in, and she was so moved by the number of stories we mm-hmm. got, you know, that people submitted, that she managed to find funding for two other couples. So she ended up funding three couples and sort of helping them with their fertility journey, IVF, you know. And so they've all received their money. The hospitals they are working with have received the funding. We're getting feedback that they're in the process, and that has been really fulfilling. And she wants to make it an annual thing.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so one of the things I'm actually looking forward to this year, she and I, you know, have started planning. As of last week, we started planning because we want to start the process a lot earlier. And in addition to sort of giving them financial support, also providing mental health and emotional support throughout the whole process. And she wants to, as much as possible every year, you know, fund 1, 2, 3 couples and help them achieve that dream or desire. So that's, I don't know how I forgot that, but that was something major last year that I'm also looking forward to, you know, being a part of in the coming year as well.
That is so incredible to hear. Yeah. That's amazing. That's really amazing. And that's, again, one of those things that people don't talk about enough. A lot of the people that listen to our podcast are also women, and so if you're based in Ghana and you either know somebody or have your own challenges, I think this is a great opportunity to go follow Carol on Thrive GH. Again, I'll link her accounts and all of the good work she's doing, so to follow, so you can stay on top of that. So
when the news comes out,
that you can you can jump on that opportunity. Thank you for sharing that. That was that's incredible. So then we're wrapping up. How can the last question I have for you? How can the audience? Well, I think I've shared that a little bit now, but how can the audience support you? Those who are listening. How can they support you and your work going forward?
I think for me, the core of what I do and where I draw the most fulfillment is being able to get out to as many people as possible information about mental health, how to access mental health services and care, especially in Ghana, because I think one of the major blocks to to mental health care in Ghana is people just don't know where to go. Yes, there's the aspect of us not being anywhere near capacity in terms of what the need is, and whether or not as a nation our healthcare system is adequate to address mental health care needs. That being said, there are lots of great, amazing people doing work in government hospitals, in community centers, in private facilities, you know, Accra and in other parts of Ghana. But a lot of people don't know. And so people don't necessarily know how to access mental health care services. And so I'm very big on getting it out there, especially when it's free or can be subsidized or isn't as expensive. And so a lot of the support that I really find I appreciate has to do with when people share stuff. And so if you follow, like you said, you'll share my my social media handles. A lot of what I do on there is just sharing information about services, things that I think, mental health tips that I think people can find helpful. And so just being a part of that sharing and getting stuff out there in the hopes that, you know, it'll get into the hands of somebody who really needs it. And so I think that's one major way in which listeners can support. And then with programs like, you know, the IVF donor support or funding program, of course, getting that information out there. One of the reasons why we got so many amazing stories was when I put it out on social media, people were really great about sharing and posting and sort of making sure that it got around. And so I think that is one of the major, major ways in which you can support. I think the other thing is, I always tell people, we can all be mental health advocates as long as we have platforms, as long as we speak to people, as long as we have family members. We can always, always, always be advocating for mental health, helping to fight the stigma associated with mental health, calling out friends and family when they talk about mental health in a way that isn't helpful, sharing the resources and the information that we have. I think it's one of the biggest ways that we can start to really make a shift and see a change in the culture around mental health and mental health care in Ghana. Yes.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to chat with you. This has been, even for me, like sometimes when I feel like when I talk to you, we're having our own personal therapy session in that I'm like getting some good aha moments. So yeah, that's that resonates with me. So thank you again. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you coming back and sharing again your expertise. I will share all of your contact information and details so people can stay on top. And I have to say that you don't have to be in Ghana to sort of learn from Carol. Like I am not based in Ghana. I follow I follow Carol religiously, and she shares a lot of good tips and great thought, you know, things to think about and reflect on. And so definitely this is not limited to being in Ghana for sure. So thank you again for your time. I appreciate you joining us again. And good luck. Good luck with the year and everything that you're looking to do this year. All the best.
Same to you. Same to you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Item 13, an African food podcast. If you like the show, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. To keep up to date, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Item 13 Podcast. Item 13 is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.